It's time for Breaking Chains with the P31 Ladies Night, where we will have open dialogue with our women on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Hey, 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 everyone. This is Dr. Holden, your host for Breaking Chains Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. We have an awesome show planned on tonight, but I'd like to go over a few house rules. Is there any, when the callers come on the line, the producer will put you through, please mute your phone. There will be a time where I come on and say, hey, if there's a caller on that has a comment or a question, then you can unmute your phone and proceed with your comment or question. So to show respect to our guests and so we can all listen to the information that will be going forth on tonight, again, please mute your phone so we will not have any interruptions. I tell you, I'm excited, and I don't know where the calls are calling from, but it has been HOT here in Atlanta. I tell you, that Hot Atlanta, actually living up to its name. So let's get to my awesome guest. So excited to have her on. She's a beautiful lady, and I met her at I went to get my I think my daughter's having senior stuff. That whole senior thing going on at Thera High. And so she's a beautiful lady, and I just loved her story. And I just think anytime we can get information on what's going on, you know, with our bodies and just personal and powerful stories, I just love them kind of guests. So without further ado, let me introduce you all to my guest, Miss, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, because it's C-H, Shaquila Shai. And I hope
Shaquila.
Okay. Well, Miss Shaquila Shai is an Atlanta, Georgia native. All right now. Okay, I'm an Atlanta, Georgia native as well. So you rarely meet people here in Atlanta that's from Atlanta. And she has lived in the metro Atlanta area all her life. It was important for Shaquila Shai to attend college, so she went to earn an Associate of Science in Business Administration from Herzing College of Business and Technology in Atlanta, and her Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a concentration in Business Management. Shaquila Shai founded and brought together We Are Shining 2019, first annual kidney disease walk. After riding in the car and hearing on B103, there will be a kidney walk in 2 weeks. Okay, now you know she got some pull, y'all. She done pulled this thing together in 2 weeks. Can we say she's blessed? She has 34 walkers. She was able to pull together within 2 weeks 34 people that came alongside her journey and walked with her. She sold 80 T-shirts in just 2 weeks prior to the event, which just passed in May 18. But, you know, the loss of her husband in November of last year, on November the 2nd, has played a major role in her decision to share with the world why we should take steps to live in a healthier lifestyle. Shai's husband suffered kidney disease for 27 years of his life and a heart failure for 8 years. And she said, what caused this illness? High blood pressure. So let me, I guess, Shaquila, are you there?
I am.
Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. You know, how's everything been going lately?
It's going well.
Okay, okay. You know, when I heard about, when I met you and I heard about, you know, you had that walk that was coming up, because it was right before graduation. That's when I was up there doing the senior activities at Thera. And so your, that story, you know, is there any callers on here, a little background noise? Please mute your phone so we can, you know, show respect to our guests. But your story, you know, just your journey of losing a husband that you love dearly for kidney disease really touched me. And I think we need to know more about how, you know, we can better live healthier lives. So tell us about your journey and how long were you married? And, you know, what was that process like just seeing your husband go through that illness?
Well, hello, everybody. On June 5th, 1995, I was at work. I received a call from my husband's best friend, and he said,
hold on,
this
Shaquila. Hold on, I'm sorry, Shaquila. There's an echo, or is there a speak? And I hear some other callers. Can you mute your phone? Because it's an echo coming in. You got a powerful story. I want the listeners to be able to hear this. Okay, you can go ahead. It's clear now.
Okay, again, on June 5th of 1995, I was at work. I received a phone call from my husband's best friend, and he called and he said, I had to bring Stacy to the hospital. And I said, why? And he said he wasn't feeling good. And I said, what's wrong? And I thought to myself, okay, I need to leave work. I need to go and check on Stacy. And he said, no. He said he'll call you when the doctors give him a diagnosis. And I said, really, what is going on? And so I waited a couple of hours. He called me back, and he said they will be keeping Stacy. And I said, why? And he said, I don't know. And I felt in my spirit that he knew, but they just didn't want to tell me at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was when I got off work, I went down to the hospital. They were still testing. And the doctors come in the room, and they said he had kidney failure. And at that moment, we were young, 27. We knew nothing about kidney failure at that time.
Wow.
And so we had to go to, you know, many classes and find out, you know, what was the reason for his kidney failure. And when the specialist came in, he said that Stacy had high blood pressure. Well, I want everybody to know that high blood pressure can be very silent. Stacy had been working, walking around, had no symptoms. And everything that they was telling him that was going on, he was like, I had no symptoms. I had no idea I had high blood pressure. Where high blood pressure is sometimes heredity. And it was heredity in his family. And so that was the cause of his kidney failure. So at that moment, we're going through the process, you know, learning about kidney failure, learning what has to happen. And the most important thing is knowing that creatinine level. And so when we learned that, it was so low that he had to have dialysis. We did not know what that was. And so we had to be taught everything about dialysis and, you know, what we would have to do for Stacy to get better. And so they told us that, you know, he would have to be on dialysis. So we went through those measures. And so in 1997,
please, callers, mute your phones. We love that you called in, but let's show respect to the guests. Please, I can hear background noise, people talking. Okay, sorry about that. We want the guests to be really able to share their story, so go ahead.
Okay, so in 1990, so we did dialysis from 1995 to 97, and then that's when we discovered that his sister, at the end of 96, we discovered his sister was a match. And so we had to wait because although a person is a match, you know, everything has to be, like, in good condition. And so they have to do certain things. So it took about 90 days, and he had the surgery April 16, 1997. He received a kidney from his sister. And they'll tell you at that moment that the kidney can reject, but, it'll last between 3 to 10 years. So we was hopeful that, you know, we would be successful, and we were. And so from April 1997 to March of 2008, when his body began to start feeling the way he remembered in June of 1995, we suspect that the kidney may be going bad, but we didn't know it. We suspect that it may be rejecting the body because that's what it does. And so in March 2008, they told us that the kidney was like 33%, and we was like, wow. And so we was like, oh, dude, that means that we have to go back on dialysis. And they was like, well, we don't know right now, but we may have to do dialysis about maybe once a week just to see, but we end up going back on dialysis full time. And going through this journey of kidney failure really opened our eyes to, you know, what we have to do and what we put inside our bodies, because what we put inside our bodies plays a major role also, because your kidney plays a major role in your health as well. And so we began to, you know, start saying, you know, what do we do from here? So that was March of 2008. Had no idea that the kidney was working so hard that your kidney can affect your heart. Mm. And so August 2010, one Friday morning, we was on our way to dialysis, and he said, my chest is hurting. He said, but it don't feel bad. It just feel like we just had 8 pork chops. So we thought that he had GAD. We thought maybe he had GAD in his chest or something like that. And so when he went to dialysis, we told him that he was not feeling good, and we think that, you know, probably what we just ate, he probably ate too fast or something like that. So, okay, so all day that Friday, that was August 8th, all day that Friday, he said, okay, it still feel kind of bad, but I think it may loosen up a little bit. So all day Friday, all day Saturday, he hurt. And finally, about 1 o'clock that morning, August 10th, he said, I can't take this anymore. My chest is hurting. Well, my husband had a massive heart attack.
Wow.
And if you know anything about kidney failure, it does affect the heart. And so when we got to the hospital, I drove him. We did not want to go in the ambulance. I drove him immediately when we got in the emergency room. The guy took him straight to triage because we told him that his chest was hurting. And when they realized that you're a dialysis patient, you know, there's a little more go into it. And so the papers start rolling out the machine, and all of a sudden he said, I got to take Stacy. And I said, where are we going? He said, we're going around to the other room. But when I arrived around to the other room, it was like 10 to 20 doctors, nurses. And I was like, what is going on? And they said, someone talk to the wife, let her know what's going on, but we have to roll to emergency room right now. We have to go to the operating room right now. He was having a massive heart attack with 5 arteries blocked. 5.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Yes. But behind all of that that Stacey went through, kidney failure 1995, 1997 receiving the kidney, 2008 the kidney rejecting the body, 2010 heart attack, I can truly say God was good to him because he went through a lot. He went through a lot. And to come through this heart attack with 5 arteries blocked and then to receive like 3 stents in his heart. But then when we got the stent August 2010 during the procedure of the operation. But when we went back to the doctor in April, it showed that the stents wasn't really protecting the heart. So we learned that we had to get a pacemaker. And so we received a pacemaker July 27, 2011. And during the year of 2010 and 2011, my husband was hospitalized 18 times.
Oh, my goodness.
18 times. Kidney failure is no game. The main causes of kidney failure is high blood pressure and diabetes.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't realize that. When I share my story, when I talk about it to people, it shocks people. And there are so many people walking around with high blood pressure, and they do not take it seriously. There are people that walk around with diabetes. They don't take it serious. If you know of anyone that has high blood pressure and they're refusing to take their medicine, they're refusing to eat right, they're refusing to diet right, they're refusing to exercise, please, I always tell people, and I tell my coworker all the time, he came to me one day before school closed, and his eyes was bloodshot red. And he came in my office, and I said, no, I don't know you personally, but I believe you got high blood pressure. And he looked at me, and he said, how do you know, Mrs. Shot? And I said, your eyes are bloodshot red. I said, please protect your kidney. And so I don't play around with it. I just tell people who do have high blood pressure, don't play around with it because it could cause you to lose your kidney. And when you lose your kidney, you got to deal with dialysis. And a lot of people do not know what that entails. That's the machine removing the blood from your body, all the toxins in your body, and it's putting it back in. The first time I saw that experience, I was sitting in dialysis with my husband in 1995, and the first time I saw that, it made me sick. The doctors had to remove me because I couldn't take it, because you look at life and you say, I have nothing to complain about when I'm looking at this machine hooked up to this man, which is my husband. It is like the most terrible thing you could see. But I don't think we understand the side effects of high blood pressure. I don't think we understand that what we eat. I don't think we understand that good hydration. I don't think we understand that urine is very important, because once you lose your kidney, you're not able to urine. When I tell people that, they be like, what? You're not able to urine on your own anymore. The machine has to clean your body out. And so much goes into having kidney failure, so that I don't know if people are realizing today there are a kidney, that is a dialysis clinic, nearly on every block now. If you look back over the years when my husband first had kidney failure, you didn't see dialysis clinic like that. My husband went to the dialysis clinic inside of Piedmont Hospital. Kidney failure is so high in the black community, in the black men. Let me say that, black men. White men does not catch kidney failure like the black men.
Okay.
It's something about the black genes that causing this kidney failure, because there are more black people that would, especially men, that would get kidney failure. And we just have to know our numbers. We got to know our numbers. Every time I go to the doctor now, I ask the doctor, what is my creatinine level? And she look at me like, what do you know about that? And I tell her, my husband.
You know, you said,
Mm-hmm.
You said something, the high blood pressure. I think my mom, she had stopped taking her high blood pressures for about a year. And last year in October, she just had a stroke and seizure at the same time because of the, you know, she wasn't taking her medicine. And she's been in and out the nursing home trying to, she still haven't learned how to walk. But it all stemmed from not taking the, do you think people start to feel, okay, I'm feeling better, I don't need it anymore? And, I mean, why do you feel from your personal experience now, and probably from you talking to different people, that people are just not taking that high blood pressure thing serious, or not going to get their pills refilled? Or what do you think is the cause of that, you know, from your personal experience, from you just talking and meeting different people?
My personal experience of watching my husband, he never denied taking his medicine. And I think that if I can reach anybody that I'm talking to today, before my husband received his kidney, he took 33 pills a day. When he received his kidney, he took 16 pills a day. And a lot of people think, once I receive that kidney, I would no longer take medication. Well, you have to, because you have to take the medication to keep the kidney from rejection. Because remember, that kidney didn't come from you. That kidney came from somebody else's body. But Stacy never denied taking his medicine. And he was a motivator to me. He was a fighter. Because when he hear that people not taking care of themselves, he would say stuff like, if they had to go through what I'm going through, they would take their medicine. He said, I was a young boy, 27. And so I never saw him not wanting to take his medicine. I just recently saw that he didn't want to take his medicine. It scared me a little bit, because he would say, I'm tired. But I just think that some people give up quicker than others. But if I can help anybody on this phone, I want you to know that my husband lived to be with his wife. And because he lived, I think that loving him the way I did allowed him to live longer. I think that people give up because they don't have mm-hmm. that love around them. I think that some people just feel like, well, I'm sick, I'm just going to give up. But he always reminded me, I will never give up on you. and I would definitely not give out on you. Only way I will leave if God is ready for me. So he motivated me. He never not wanted to take his medicine. So when people
like in the beginning when you was talking about, so he did not know he had high blood pressure, or
he did not know.
That's a silent. What did you learn from that experience? Hold on, Miss Shy. Let me ask the question fully so you'll see where I'm going. A lot of people, you know, may not know they have high blood pressure. Are there signs from your experience now, looking back, that you can see maybe something was wrong? Did he complain of headache? Was he lightheaded? Were there signs that you can share with people so they can go and get checked out?
And I'm glad you asked that, because I want everybody to know that it wasn't a headache of anything. My husband went to the bathroom, he went to the restroom, and he saw blood in his urine. And he did not know what that meant. He just said, I think I see blood in my urine. Blood in the urine is serious. That mm-hmm. showed a sign of kidney failure. Then I guess when they checked his blood pressure, you know, at the hospital, they realized mm-hmm. he had high blood pressure, because he was not diagnosed with high blood pressure before he was diagnosed with kidney failure. And so they said it was hypertension, but he just didn't have those. He didn't realize the symptoms. And he said to this day, he think that maybe he was young and didn't realize it. He said every now and then I would have a headache, but I didn't think it was that serious. So he did have the headache, but he didn't think it was that serious. But when he saw the urine in the blood, the blood in the urine, that showed him something different. It scared him. He didn't know what it was. And so that was the main reason that his best friend took him to the hospital, is because of the blood in the urine. But at that time, they realized he had high blood pressure as well.
Okay, and I know you stated that. So you first just covered things. Wow, you said a lot of good information. So I know you said that it's a process, although somebody can be a match, but that it's a process to weed out other factors. So, you know, okay.
Yes, Stacey's sister had just had a baby, so we had to wait for her body heal. And so you just want the person that give you the kidney, you want that person to be healthy. So she had her baby, and so we had to wait on that. But there's a lot of factors that come with it, because when I wanted to give Stacey a kidney, they don't want wives giving kidneys. The second time when his kidney failed, I offered to give him a kidney. Well, they'll call the wife in and they'll talk to you and they'll tell you they don't want you to give kidneys, but give one of your kidneys. And the reason they don't want you to, because they think you're stressed. And if you're stressed and you give a kidney, then if you lose that kidney you got, then, that's not good. So they never wanted me to give a kidney. I offered to share my kidney with someone else that may be a match, that I may be a match for, and switching for one that match him. But because his heart was weak, we couldn't receive the kidney. We went to the doctor 4 years ago. We said, okay, Piedmont told us no, so let's try Emory. So Piedmont gave us a referral to Emory. And Emory said the same thing. When the doctor came in the room, he said, Stacey, your heart is 20%. You can't receive a kidney. I was out of my mind when he told my husband his heart was at 20%. And I said, can he live? And he said, he can die too. And I was like, really? With a pacemaker? I think my mind just had slipped. And so that was 4 years ago. So he lived 4 more years with the pacemaker, with his heart being at 20%. And so Stacey did everything right. Stacey ate right. He watched his protein level. He watched his creatinine. He did everything right. And I think that's why he lived 27 years. But I was talking to one of the nurses just the other day before I did this interview, and I said, what do you think allowed Stacey to live so long? She said Stacey was one of our best patients. She said Stacey took care of himself. My husband didn't smoke. He didn't drink. And so all of these things is what people with kidney failure, they consume in their bodies, because they feel like, okay, I'm sick anyway. But Stacey didn't do that because Stacey wanted to live. And he didn't consume anything in his body that was unhealthy. And so for him doing the right thing, I did the right thing. I recently, after losing my husband, became a vegetarian.
Okay.
Only because I have just read up so much and researched so much, and I want to live, and I want my kidneys to be able to flush the way they should flush. And so I decided to become a vegetarian just to help myself and not want to feed anybody any information, and I'm not doing right myself. And so
okay.
I just tell people, when you've been through what I've been through and you have experienced what I have experienced gout with my husband, because all of this stuff causes other side effects. I have experienced gout with my husband. I have experienced times where that I had to shower my husband. I had to do so much. I had to treat him like he was my child sometimes. And I always looked at him and I always said, what makes you want to live? He said, my wife. He said, my wife. He said, I pray every day that God don't take me away from you. And
God,
I never neglected Stacey. I never neglected Stacey. I always was right. And if I can help any spouse on this phone,
yeah,
by your spouse. Because you don't know.
And that's something important you just said. I read an article the other day, and it said that, you know, men are more likely to leave a spouse who's sick than a wife is. So what was that like, I mean, going from, you know, being a caretaker, now you went from, you know, having a spouse that was functional, you know, where they could take care of themselves, to now you're like the caretaker now. How was that experience on you emotionally and mentally?
If I could tell you all the truth, I loved him more the way he were when he was sick, because I began to appreciate life more, see life better, and look at it in a different perspective. And while Stacey was sick, I always said, baby, God said it would be sickness and health. He said all of these things shall pass. And he used to always say, you don't have to stick in here. You can walk away if you want to. My husband told me this in 1995. He said, I think at this moment you have the opportunity, and I'll always be your friend. He said, you can walk away.
Did y'all have any kids together?
Yeah, we have three. We have three. I have three. My husband has two. And we have five kids total. Yes. And we had a beautiful blended family.
You know. Let's take a break here, and I think we have a call online. Call if you're there. You want to make a comment or ask Ms. Shy a question. Please go ahead and unmute your phone. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling in. Ms. Shy is my sister, not by blood, but by our hearts. This is Mrs. Reed. Hey, Ms. Shy.
Hey, Mrs. Reed. How you doing?
Fine, sister. I'm so proud of you. You are a light to so many people, and God chose you for a reason. And I want you to continue your fight for Stacey, my brother, and for those kids. And always remember that what you say means a lot. I'm sitting here learning stuff, and I thought I knew a lot, and I'm learning a lot more. So thank you, sister, for all that you've done for your family and for others. Continue this fight and let us know that this is what God chose you to do. I love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
Wow, awesome. And, you know, and that's what's the purpose I just kind of let you talk. I think sometimes we need to, you know, you got certain interviews, you go back and forth, you got different questions, and well, I think you just need to actually hear, like you say, I've learned things, you know. And, you know, if you're not, and I'm big on, if I'm not feeling better in 2 or 3, I'm at the emergency room. My family always say, girl, you'll go to the doctor for anything. I said, I just, your body to me is will warn you when something is not right. You know, it's going to let you know one way, if something, and I think even on the, where the back of the Tylenol and ibuprofen bottles, it tells you in 3 days, if you're still having this pain, you need to go and get seen. So our bodies and your story, because, you know, to be with someone, we're going to talk in a few minutes, but just about being, you know, a widow and your journey now of this walk. So let's go ahead and dive into, you know, how have you been just the last 7 months? Stacey only been past, 7 months now? So how has this journey, this new life of being with someone, frankly, 27, 30 years, how's this second phase now? Has it given you new life? Has it given you new purpose? I see you just did this walk, which will lead into that question there. But tell us about this losing a spouse, and for some people who feel like, man, I lost a spouse, that's my best friend, and, you know, I'm in this new place. So give some comfort to maybe someone who's lost a spouse and they don't know where to start over.
If I can be honest to you all, I'm still lost.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very hard. I trust God. But what keeps me going is knowing that Mr. Shy was tired of that pain. At the very end, he was tired of that pain. And life has been different for me. I look at life differently. I think sometimes, how do you be with someone for so many years and all of a sudden they're not there anymore? I don't know this thing about new normal. My mother-in-law said, it's a new normal. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, you want to make decisions with him, but you got to make them without him. And so it's hard, you all, because every month I have always did a budget. But when I do the budget, I always did it with Stacey. Me and Stacey are very close. Like, I'm not hiding anything from my husband. He's not hiding anything from me. That didn't just happen when he got sick. It was like that before he got sick. And we kept that journey going. And so to have to start this new normal where you're making decisions by yourself, you're in your bedroom by yourself, you don't get that phone call at work 5-6 times a day, how my baby doing? The hardest thing for me is when I return back to work and I know I wasn't getting that phone call at 4 o'clock. You out that door?
Yeah.
So the things that, and Mr. Shy, if anybody know him, he was a man. And I tell my mother-in-law all the time, thank you for raising a man for a woman. And you did good. And I recently spoke to her, and she said, he were a good man. He were. And what keeps me going is just knowing that the struggle that he had to deal with for 27 years, I would be quite selfish to ask God to keep him here. And when that time came, it was hard for me to accept. And I told God yesterday, I would never question it, but I miss him. And I know that, you know, I'm human because I cry a lot. I cry in my bedroom a lot. I get away from my family and I cry, but I tell Stace all the time, I miss you. And as long as I know he's watching over me, I'm going to be okay. But I can tell you this, there will never be another Mr. Shy. And I think my journey of going through this with Stacey, that was my test. And now I have a testimony. And I thank God that he allowed me to run that race with Stacy. Because we look at life and we look at the material thing. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you all, I change the way I think. When I got married, I was terrible, OCD, but I had to learn to accept my husband as my husband. And when he got sick, I had to make some adjustments in my life because my husband did dialysis from home. So therefore, I had to get out of myself and understand that my better half needed the bedroom more than I did. So I sacrificed, and I used the bathroom downstairs, and I allowed my husband to be able to use the bathroom in the bedroom. And I can tell you all that I was so selfless. I was a good wife because I didn't care about the things anymore. I cared about the man that was sick. So the man that was sick had the wife that said, we can remove this from the bed. If it has to look like a hospital room for 8 years, that's fine, as long as you're living. So when we got people around us that's sick, we got to accommodate. We got to come up out of ourselves, and we got to accommodate the person that's going through. And so that's when I tell you all the love that me and Stacey shared is rare, because you got to give up a lot to see a person survive kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave up a lot. And I didn't care. We didn't travel anymore. We didn't go places like we wanted to. And I never felt bad when I saw someone going somewhere because I wanted to be here with my husband. I lost a lot along the way, me and my husband both. We couldn't go places when our best friends went. But we never sat down and talked about we wish we could be there. We always said, this too shall pass. And we just looked at the brighter side of life together. We looked at the brighter side of life together. And I could tell you this, God kept us many times. When my husband first got sick, we didn't have food on our table. But the best part about that is that we didn't have children to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple that was in our life. And for some reason, God would touch them. And they would bring us food over, but we didn't call them. We always told ourselves, we're going to pay the mortgage, and we don't care if nothing else get paid, because everybody know when you outdoors, but nobody know when you hungry.
That's right. That's the. But let me ask you this. So it sounds like you, this experience, and a lot of people seeing death so close up, it made you look at life differently. You got you look at life. Just share one or two things that you learned or just about how precious life is. You know, maybe someone on the call or, you know, we have people listening from different places all over the world. Maybe somebody, you know, it might be so materialistic or they might don't think, you know, that any, you know, just don't take the time to really smell the roses. So share maybe one or two things that you learned about this journey called life during this time of your husband's sickness.
One thing I learned is how to love genuinely. A lot of people don't love genuinely. When the money run out, the love run out.
Mm.
I didn't love like that. I loved genuinely. Me and Stacey, from the very start, before we got married, we already knew that we were destined for each other, because Pastor Nesby asked us one question and told us we would be in we would be in marriage counseling for about 3 months if we didn't get it right. And he said, I have to ask you something, Shaquilla. And I said, what do you have to ask me? And he said, I'm aware that Stacey has kidney failure now, and I'm doing your marriage counseling. And he said, what if Stacey falls sick? What would you do? I said, I'd be right there. And so I just learned that people have to understand that when you're in a relationship, you have to value it. And so through this relationship, it taught me just how to love genuinely. It taught me how to say no to things that's not important. It taught me how to sacrifice, and that I did. I drove the same car for 17 years. This woman drove the same car for 17 years. Sacrifice. I sacrificed. Because what that would have did to my husband to tell him, I need a new car. Well, Mr. Shaw don't work. Mr. Shaw don't work. Mr. Shaw is a kidney failure patient. He doesn't work. So I did not put pressure on my husband because I wanted things. I sacrificed. And I said, I'm going to drive this car till the wheels fall off or the rod fall out the motor. And I told my husband that. And the rod did fall out the motor 17 years later. So I think you got to learn how to sacrifice. I think you can't walk away when you see that it's not like it used to be. Because it don't necessarily have to be illness involved. It could be something else involved. But you got to know how to stay. And I think that me in this relationship and going through what I went through, it taught me how to sacrifice. It taught me how to give up on things that are really not important. Because I felt Stacey's life was more important. Stacey's life was more important than me pressuring him about, I need to go out of town because my girlfriend's out of town. That wasn't important. And many times I looked at Stacey while he was sick, and I said, had you not been the wife that you were, he probably would have passed a long time ago. And he said that to me. He said, I believe if I was in another relationship, I probably would be gone by now because she probably would use and abuse me. He said, but you are different. And so I just say, whatever you go through should teach you something. And it taught me a whole lot. Sacrifice and accommodating others. Sacrifice and accommodating others.
Wow. You know, and you didn't make him feel like a burden. You know,
he was not a burden.
Yeah, you know, in relationship, you said something so key, especially now. You know, nobody that love you're talking about, you know, I always tell when I joke with friends or my kids that in their late 20s, mid, I say, you know, 20, 30 years ago, love, relationship was really about giving somebody and loving. Now it's all about what can you do for it. It's not about covenant anymore. It's about, you know, contract. What can you do for me? So not make him feel like he was a bird, because he would have read your body language. He would have read your facial expressions. You know, he would have picked up on all of that. And so before we end, let me see if there's another caller. Caller, is there a caller on the line that wants to make a comment or ask a question? Caller, are you there? Okay, gotta see that probably. Make sure before we end. So tell us about this walk, this kidney walk, and how were you able to? I mean, you're just a beautiful person inside and out. So, but how did you get 34 people? You know, it's hard to get, you know, two people to come to something. But how did you just? Were these family and friends, coworkers, and just tell us what this walk meant to you? Because I think it was the first walk that you've done, and tell us a little bit about your organization, you know, and before we end the interview.
Well, I was riding in my car one Saturday, and I forgot where I was coming from. I believe it was the salon, and I forgot where I was coming from, though. And I heard, I was listening at B103, and I heard them say there were a kidney walk in Atlanta. And I said, wow. And so when they gave out the information, I said, wow, it has to be too late, because now the young lady said May 18th. And I'm saying to myself, I got 2 weeks to get this done if I'm allowed to get it done. So what I did was I went on the website and I interacted with a young lady through email, and she was saying, and I told her my story, and she was saying, yeah, you can do it. She said, it's not too late. And so what I did was I created a letter, and I began to start sending out information to family and friends, and I told them what I was doing. I told them why I was doing it. And I think sometimes you just got to explain why you're doing stuff, your purpose. And then I think it's because a lot of people know me. They know my journey with Stacy. I think that for people to buy into what you're doing, and I tell people, people have to buy into your brand. And when people believe in your brand, then they will support you. And I think because people bought into the brand or what I was doing, I think they said, okay, we're going to do this. I did not have any problems. You know, some people had to work, and I understood that because it was 2 weeks out. Then I said, you know what? I told my son, I said, can you create a T-shirt for me? Can you get me something going? And he said, yeah, Mom, we'll get that going. And I talked to one of my colleagues, and he said, you know, I could help you get some T-shirts. So I said, really? I ain't got the 2 weeks. And so he said, let's see what we can do. And I talked to the young man, and when I talked to the young man, he was my former boss. I used to work for him and did not know that this the person that he was introducing me to. And so I told him what I was doing, and while I was talking to him, he said, Shy, you are helping me out so much. He said, I have high blood pressure. Can you talk to me? And I've been talking to him, like, a lot about his high blood pressure, what he can do to not get kidney failure. And, you know, he's overweighted and stuff, and he was like, I'm really overweighted. I need to get it down. So I just began to just start talking to people, and people began to start buying into it. And I said, okay, if I can't get everybody to walk, then I could get them to support him, because if they wear the T-shirt, someone's going to see it and they're going to ask about it. So my focus was to get the brand out there and to get the business out there and get people to notice it. And so people were emailing me, and it was like, I'm a walk. And I was like, wow. And I wasn't expecting to have that many. I was like, wow, this is great. But something somebody said to me, they said, Shy, it shows the type of person you are. And
that's
people
right.
saw your walk. They saw your walk,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted
mm-hmm.
to be a part of it. And his family came out in numbers. Oh, wow. They are loving family anyway, but they came out in numbers, my family, my friends. It was amazing. And I have had so many people to tell me they are going to support me next year. It is going to be amazing. My boss said, we're going to make this thing big next year. And you are awesome, and we're so proud of you. And I'm just shocked 7 months later, here I am doing what I do. But I can tell you, I began to smile when I did the first kitten walk. I began to smile.
Wow. So Ms. Shy, tell the listeners, if they want to donate about your organization, do you have a website, or how can they come, you know, do you have a social media presence or a website, something they can go and check you out and see how can they get involved, or they can donate? Because I read you're going to start a foundation or scholarship for next year for a high school senior that's graduating. Okay. So just go ahead, take a couple of minutes just to give out. How can they get in contact with you? If you have any social media outlets that they can follow you on, and a little bit about that scholarship that you put in place now.
Okay, I am putting in place We Are Shining for Stacy Kidney Disease. I am putting in place a foundation. Next year, I expect to give out a scholarship to a graduating senior that is going through kidney failure or has a parent that is going through kidney failure, because I want to be able to give back in my husband's name. I want to be able to give back. There are a lot of people out here with kidney failure. The dialysis clinic where my husband did his dialysis, where he dialyzed it, I will be going to that clinic as well, and I will be giving back at that clinic. I will be giving, when on holidays, they give out, like, boxes of things to the patient. Sometimes my husband would come home with little trinket gifts, and I want to give back in my husband's name to the patients at the dialysis clinic. One thing about kidney failure, if you ever know anybody with kidney failure, if you go to the doctors with them the way I went to the doctor with Stacy, you will see that they're there alone. People do not support these people. They are there alone. And so Stacy didn't have to go through that. And so because Stacy did not have to go through that alone, he had his wife and his kids and his family. I want to be able to help somebody not go through it alone.
Awesome, awesome. So what are your social media handles? If people want to, are you on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram?
I am on, I just created an Instagram. So I am on Instagram, and you can follow me. I just created that page. It is called at We Are Shining, and it'll be Shining, S-H-Y. I use our last name, N-I-N-G. So if
awesome.
You can follow me at We Are Shining. If you want to donate to the to We Are Shining, it goes directly to the Kidney Foundation. You can donate at kidney.org, and when it asks you who are you donating to, you can put in We Are Shining, and it'll definitely go to the Kidney Foundation. The Kidney Foundation do what they're supposed to do. They were very helpful to my husband. There were many times my husband were in need of things in the Kidney Foundation. They really support those patients. That's one thing I can say. If you give to the Kidney Foundation, please do, because they definitely help the patients. Also, if you have things in your home that you need to give, I know we have the Goodwill out there, but if we got people that's really close to us and they're fighting kidney failure, you can give your belongings in your house to the Kidney Foundation. They definitely do the things that they need to do to ensure that these patients survive. There was the bills can be so high because those bills are very high. We were just fortunate that we had two insurance, and we were very fortunate with that part. And that's because I had to continue working. I could have said, I'm going to stop and take care of Stacy. But we knew that we wanted the best care for Stacy. So also work and the insurance is very important, because Medicare would not do it like that. Y'all do understand that when you got insurance on a job, they're going to take care of you a whole lot better than if you just got Medicare. At one point, we just had Medicare, and when we just had Medicare, it drove us to Grady Hospital, who could not at that time supply what Stacy needed with renal failure. But when I received my insurance on my job, we began to go to Piedmont Hospital, and I can give them a shout-out because they are the best. They're the reason, with God's help, that Stacy survived 27 years. Piedmont is a very good hospital for renal failure. But we also, if I can let you all know, if you could do anything to prevent this kidney failure, please, black men, get a checkup. Black men, watch that high blood pressure. Watch that diabetes. Please get annual checkups and make sure that you know your blood level, so that it won't be too late, because many times kidney failure is too late and you have to go right on dialysis. But if you get annual checkups and get that kidney check, if there's something going on, it could be treated. It could be treated.
Okay.
And we learned that later, that it could be treated. And so,
So you'll see
updates and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going to start putting updates on your Instagram. So you don't have Facebook or LinkedIn. You just now getting new to the, you're new to the social media world, seems like.
Yeah, I am going to open up a Facebook page, and I'm probably going to do it really soon. I am, and I do have the Instagram going now, but I am going to open up a Facebook page. The lady at the Kidney Foundation asked me the other day, and I think I will.
Okay.
And
Okay. If someone wanted to get a T-shirt to show their support, you know, are y'all selling T-shirts?
Yeah, you could email me at weareshining shiny@gmail.com.
Okay, spell it one more time, Ms. Shy, that shiny, just in case somebody.
Yeah, shiny@gmail.com. We are shiny@gmail.com. And you can definitely reach out to me on there. And I would definitely keep updates on my Instagram page. And once I, you know, get the Facebook page, I definitely let everyone know on that Instagram page as well.
Wow. Well, you know, I want to thank you for taking your time. I know the last 7 months really have been a topsy-turvy time. And, you know, you're still trying to, like you said, you know, get your footing. You know, you're just trying to see. But God, I see God is already orchestrating your steps. He's already orchestrating your steps and bringing you have a support system. And I just believe your organization is going to grow. I just feel that my spirit is going to grow and grow. And you're going to touch so many lives with your story and with the awareness that you bring to kidney failure and high blood pressure. So I just want to thank you again, Ms. Shy, for taking your time out. Coming on Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. And again, thank you. And thank you to the caller that called in just to show love, you know, let her know, hey, I'm here, I'm listening. And that's what it's about, people. You know, Ms. Shy said something very important. You know, it's easy to be with someone when the chips are going well. But what happens when, you know, life happens, that family member who you care about, that spouse or that loved one lose a job or get ill or some tragic accident happen? Is our love strong enough to stand by, or only is it strong enough to stand by in times of comfort and when everything is going right? So I just definitely love that you was a guest on Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. You definitely, your story, you shared so much information in your story. And so I want to thank you. And, hey, listeners, tune in on June 19th. I'm thinking, okay, my birthday next Saturday. Okay, June 19th, we're going to take an intermission next week just to kind of get myself situated after graduation prom. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And thank you again. Tune in next week, June 19th at 8 o'clock, Proverbs 31, Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31, Ladies Night. Hey, I got another awesome guest that will be sharing some good, oh my goodness, motivation, inspiration. And so, again, this is Dr. Holden. I love you all. Please, please listen to your bodies. Your body will give you warning signals to let you know, hey, you don't look too much or something's not right. Go get checked out. I love you all. Peace and blessings. See you again on Breaking Chains, Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. I want to give my shout out to my sponsor, Swagger Magazine, for their support of my broadcast. And again, please listen to your bodies and get checked out. Thank you. See you next
time. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to Breaking Chain with the P31 Women on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.